News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and a very warm welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we explore the northeastern part of India, it gets intriguing to know about it in each episode. Let me tell you about the excitement in today's episode. Under the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, a striking 93% of patients in the state reported receiving essential medicines from government-run health facilities. And in our segment, Enchanting Folktales of Northeast India, we delve into the captivating world of Northeastern folklore, unearthing tales that have been passed down through generations, revealing the magic and wonder of Northeast India's storytelling tradition. But for now, let's listen to a special report on the log drum, which plays a very integral part in the lives and villages of the Kiambunangan Naga tribes. The resonating beats of the log drum echo through the ages, deeply ingrained within the cultural fabric of the Kiambunangan Naga tribes. The log drum isn't merely an instrument, it's a cultural cornerstone deeply embedded in the essence of their lives. From the ancient rituals of falling trees to the communal efforts in the crafting these mighty drums, every step echoes the unity and resilience of the people. In this report, our correspondent Asuno embarks on a journey to uncover the significance of these colossal instruments, exploring how they serve as symbols of strength and unity, each beat reverberating with the rich tapestry of Naga heritage.
Once the log drum gets old and unusable, the village elders gathered and decide to make a new log drum. The elders make the decision of whose trees they should cut and is called the Pyangpao Paipao. They also choose two people whose parents are alive and are not involved in any kind of hunting, thieves, and one who is pure.
To start cutting down the tree, the two Zuzan people are the first one to cut the tree with a prayer, chanting, Tanyu aling me ka ka ta lo ji, asho me ka ka ta lo ji, nung panyu na kem ko zam li achu kiu, kem li achu kiu. It is only after the two Zuzan men starts cutting the tree, others join them in the process. Once the process of cutting and shaping of the log drum is completed, which takes about 1 to 2 months or more, the villagers start the process of pulling the log. The log drum is bounded by wild rope, covering almost entirely for groups. The process of pulling may take some few days to even weeks to reach the village. In the entire process of pulling the log drum, if any unfortunate accident happens with the loss of life while pulling the log drum, the process of pulling stops and the log drum is left on the spot of the accident, and they start the same process again by cutting a new log.
When the log drum reaches a village, a ceremony is being carried out by sacrificing a cock and dripping its blood on the drum and chanting words which means, under this drum, whether it may be a boy or a girl, let them grow and spread like the branches of a tree, beautiful and courageous. At the same time, the villagers get dressed in their traditional war attires and begin to sing and yell near the drum. There are about 4 types of log drum beatings. Each beatings has a unique tone to it and they are meant differently. The beatings are used during solar and lunar eclipse, village informations, war warnings and guard on duty. Despite the community moving towards a modern way of life, the beating of the log drum can be still heard in every village of the Kiambunangans. Upon hearing the beating of the log drum, one can imagine and feel the vibration and presence of their forefathers and their way of living, reminding every individual on how they had lived and the rich culture passed on. For Northeast Diary, with M. Shu Asonyo, Kohima.
The heat wave condition prevailing in Tripura since last few days is not only affecting human beings, but even the animals. The soaring rise in temperature has therefore prompted the Sepajila Zoo Authority to take urgent action to ensure that the wild animals such as king of the jungle lion and big cats such as tiger and leopards do not fall sick due to harsh summer. Our Agartala correspondent has more in this report.
The stinging effects of global warming is hitting the mankind hard, and even animals are no exception to it. The Sepajila Zoo, the only zoo in Tripura which has several endangered species such as lions, tigers, leopards, exotic birds, bears and hippopotamus, is seen taking requisite actions to ensure that animals in their enclosure do not fall ill due to depleting electrolyte levels. As part of the measure to provide some respite to the animals from soaring heat coupled with high humidity, the zoo authority has been splashing gallons of water in the enclosure of lions, tigers, leopards, and are also keeping ice blocks in the cage so that the intensity of heat is reduced. We spoke to the director of Sepajila Zoo, Bishwajit Das, and this is what he had to say.
We are taking a lot of measures actually. So, like giving the proper high water content foods to the animals and spraying of water regularly and keeping the service room that we call night shelter cool and spraying water. Even we are giving birth to the our zoo animals, and these are we are taking lots of measures, and so far all the animals are in good condition. Moreover, we are in some enclosure of bigger carnivores like tigers, and in zoo hospital also we are giving air cooler also. Like in some birds we have exotic birds, so there we are giving fan also to keep the room cooler. And we are doing our best, and hopefully there will be, so far animals are good now, as of now. We are quite vigilant, and as a team we are working very hard, and we are prepared for this also, because since we know that there will be a high rise of temperature and all the schools are closed in the state, so we have taken a lot of precautionary measures, and we are monitoring on regular basis, and all our team we are very vigilant about this, and hopefully we'll overcome this. So we are taking around 30 number of ice blocks per day. If required, we'll take more also, but 30 is sufficient. Even the fruit content what we are giving to our animals, so we are keeping all those fruits in a bucket, and in the we dip all those fruits in the ice, and just we frozen fruits you can see. We are giving frozen fruits also. Recently we got the instruction from Central Zoo Authority also. They have given some preventive measures, what to do, what not to do. So movement of animal from one enclosure to another enclosure, we are not doing it. And properly like carnivore, like meat and all, we are not giving it in the noon time, because due to this high temperature they may not take the food properly. But other animals we are giving this frozen fruits mixed with ice and all.
The veterinary doctor of the zoo, Keshav Devnath, said apart from keeping ice blocks, splashing water and installing coolers in the enclosure of tiger, a specific dietary pattern is followed to see that animals do not face any adverse effect after consuming the food.
We have taken lots of precautions there for maintaining that control heat web to the animals. Particularly we have arranged ice cube for every enclosure, every animals. Like lion, tiger, leopard, including omnivore animals like bear and monkeys also. Then they changed some food items also. We included like watermelon in the food diets, and like omnivore animals and herbivore animals. In case of carnivore animals like lion, tiger, we have added oral radiated solution for maintain their electrolyte balance in the body systems. They mean feel comfort. In addition to that, we have arranged lots of waters, spraying the waters in natural area around the natural area around the enclosure also, to maintain their body conditions.
As the environmentalists observe that the rise in temperature is just a tip of an iceberg, it is time for humans to get into a combat mode by planting more trees and reducing the emission of greenhouse gases that cause further damage to the planet, and work with an objective to provide better future to the next generation. Kunal Shinde for Northeast Diary from Akashwani, Agartala.
COVID-19 pandemic has been an eye-opener and has bolted the healthcare system by exposing the various gaps which we had known for existence. This led to change in our thought process and woken us from a very deep slumber.
Additionally, Dr. Kharsingh highlighted the rising global mortality rate associated with non-communicable diseases, stressing the importance of comprehensive and continuous healthcare services across all settings.
With the rising global rate of mortality relating to non-communicable diseases, we are facing many challenges in treatment and meeting the needs of the chronically ill patients. We have to be able to provide the full complement of services, research, and treatment which needs to be continuous in all settings.
While acknowledging the strides made by the state government in enhancing healthcare facilities and medication availability, it is crucial to address the persistent issue of healthcare professional shortages. This is Abhishek Mukhopadhyay with Lamphrang Nongspang reporting for Northeast Diary from Akashwani News, Shillong.
Enchanting folktales of Northeast India. Today we bring you to immerse yourself in a captivating Thai Kanthi folktale titled Nang Shanta Looks for a Groom, narrated by senior broadcaster Kaushik Roy.
In the good old days when the Nanchaos were engaged in battle, there lived a willful princess whose name was Nang Shanta. When it was deemed that she was of marriageable age, her parents arranged an extravagant event whereby 150 eligible princes were invited to compete for her hand. The assembled princes put their talents on display for the benefit of the princess, but she was hard to impress. "Would it not be better if I were to throw my stole in the air and marry the man on whose roof it falls?" she sighed. "Who knows, I may find the perfect match for myself that way." The more she thought about it, the more convinced she became that it was the only way to find true love. She conveyed her feelings to her shocked parents. The king flew into a purple rage. "Have you taken leave of your senses? Are these brave men not good enough for you?" he demanded to know. The king even threatened to disown her, but it seemed to have no effect on the girl whatsoever. Word spread across the kingdom that the princess had rejected all her royal suitors and was now on the lookout for a suitable groom. People flocked to get a glimpse of the princess as she stepped out of the palace gates. Who was this princess who defied her parents to look for a husband on the streets? Only a mad person would do so. Nang Shanta's search took her through rows and rows of mansions belonging to merchants, noblemen and ministers. Every now and then she stopped to throw her gold-trimmed stole in the air, and each time she did that, many hearts skipped a beat. Each house owner, young or old, wished with all his heart that the stole would rest on the roof of his home. But the stole floated tantalizingly by and landed on the ground near the feet of the princess each time. Finally, when the princess was about to give up hope of ever finding a husband, a strong gust of wind blew and carried the stole away. It sailed through the air and disappeared from view. The princess followed the direction the stole had taken and soon enough spotted a gold-trimmed stole reflecting the light of the sun. It lay on the roof of a hut that belonged to a poor woodcutter who was away at work. Since there was no one to answer the door, she paced up and down in front of the hut waiting for the owner of the house to return. Was he young or old? What if he were ugly? What if he already had a wife? She mused. It was late evening when the woodcutter returned home, tired and hungry. He had been able to sell some firewood and was carrying a little sack of grain. Standing by his humble hut was a girl so beautiful and richly attired, he wondered if she were a fairy and stopped in his tracks. He was half afraid to move forward, wondering if he had come to the wrong house. "Who are you? Where have you come from?" he stuttered. Nanchanta's dreams were shattered when she saw a short, stout man with peasant looks in sweaty, soiled and tattered clothes. This was not what she had bargained for. But for the headstrong princess, anything was better than having to admit she was wrong. "My name is Nanchanta," she said. "I am the daughter of the king and now I have chosen to live here." There was a look of utter surprise on the woodcutter's face. "How can that be? Please go away before the king sends his soldiers after me," he pleaded with folded hands. "I have left the palace on my own accord and my father will not come to look for me. This is my home now. I cannot leave," the princess replied. She then explained how she had thrown the stone and how it had landed on his roof, making him the chosen one. "But I cannot afford to feed you, nor can I clothe you in fine silk, least of all provide you with the comforts you are used to," the woodcutter told her. No matter how much the woodcutter tried, he was unable to make Nanchanta alter her decision. The poor man ultimately gave up reasoning with her, and so they became man and wife. Nanchanta now had to wake up early each morning, sweep the mud floor, fetch water from the stream. Since her husband did not even own a water pot, she had to use bamboo to fetch and store water. All the drudgery was beginning to take its toll on her. Soon her beautiful garments became soiled and frayed. Her once soft hands became coarse and lined with cuts, the fingernails broken and filled with grime. The soles of her feet were lined with cracks or for shoes wore out and had to be discarded. Her husband had not been able to sell much firewood because the villagers were poor and fetched their own supply of firewood. With no money coming in, their stock of grain was depleted and they had to live on roots and wild ferns. After much contemplation, Nanchanta removed the diamond ring from her finger and gave it to her husband. "Take this and sell it," he said. "Are you sure you want to part with this ring? It is the only piece of jewelry you have," her husband wanted to know. "Of what use is this piece of jewelry when we have nothing to eat?" she sighed, although it pained her to part with it, for it was a gift from her parents and the only thing she had that reminded her of them. The woodcutter took the ring and went to the village market. He showed it to the shopkeepers and traders, but no one seemed willing to buy it. They all knew it was worth a lot of money, although they did not know how much, and none of them had that kind of money. Unable to sell the ring, the woodcutter walked home dejected. "What sort of ring is this that no one wants? It must be worthless." He took the ring and flung it as far as he could into the river. When Nanchanta heard of it, she almost fainted. "You are a fool to have thrown my expensive ring away," Nanchanta began to sob. The woodcutter could not bear to see his wife unhappy. "There are plenty of such stones in the jungle where I go to cut wood. I can take you there and show them to you," he said. The princess looked disdainfully at her husband. What do you know of precious stones? You just threw the most valuable thing we had. Well, I have a few of them here, the woodcutter said. He took out a small bundle hidden within the layers of the thatch and handed it to his wife. When she opened the bundle, she saw precious gems that were the size of eggs. These must be worth a fortune, she exclaimed. Show me the place at once. Perhaps we won't be poor any longer. Armed with huge baskets, the two of them hurried to the place where a sack full of diamonds, rubies, emeralds and other precious stones lay half hidden inside the hollow of a tree. As they scooped out the gems, a gold ring with the royal seal on it caught Nanchanta's attention. That ring belongs to my father, she cried. It was stolen a long time ago with his collection of gems. The thief must have hidden them here and somehow could not return to collect them. We will return this treasure to your father, the woodcutter said. They carried the jewels home and were so excited that they could not sleep at all. They set off for the palace early next morning. It had been a long time since Nanchanta had left her home, and she was wondering how her parents would react when they saw her husband and her. She need not have worried for the king and the queen, as they were only too happy to have her back, and all was forgiven. As part of a dowry, the king presented them a beautiful palace, servants, and riches.
Northeast Diary program, broadcast every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., brings very interesting and enchanting stories from the 8 Indian states of Northeast India. Don't forget to tune in.
The next track is a celebration of heritage as we bring you a modern folk fusion. We Are the Nagas by Imda Yadin. With amalgamation of different spectrums and influences, the song is a testament to the vibrant spirit and resilience of Naga community.
Than me, echoing warriors shout down to the valleys, where our ancestors once had building dwelt. Decreed by the Maker himself, in the land that starts with the universe, buried beneath the dark of long miseries, just we as people who left the conditionally.
With that, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us next week to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye.
We know who we are, we know where we were. Since our ancestors, God will guide us through. Journey has led us down, but that's alright. We've come a long way and we'll go on and on. The unique culture, the rhythm of the heart, the long injuries, yet we're the people who left the foolish to make.
देखने में अलग सख्ती भी अलग लेकिन प्यार और अमन का पैगाम सारे देशवासियों को मेरे सलाम इस देश के लिए दिए हमने भी जाने बलिदान और हम भी शान से कहते हैं दैट आई एम नागा
The program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.